So I am going to continue on this subject of spiritual guidance for living in toxic times. I want to stress from the beginning that it doesn't mean that life can't be fun, that life can't be enjoyable. Life is a celebration, life is a love affair, life is the creation of our beloved. But in order to have a good time and to go home, there need to be certain parameters, as I have explained. One needs to be a little bit more aware. Leading an ethical life protects you. You don't get drawn into a certain darkness. And doing the practices, awareness of breath is a very, very good protection. It creates an energy field around you if you do awareness of breath. What I am trying to say is, look, we are involved in humanity, we are involved in life, we are not retiring, we are not building walls, but because of the increasing density, increasing toxicity of the environment in which we live, doing one's practice is really central. Doing the zikr, doing the meditation, and first thing in the morning, what do you do when you do the meditation first thing in the morning? You align yourself with your higher self. You bring your higher self down into this plane of existence, you create the connection and it can come down into this plane, and the higher self can both guide you through life, stop you going where you don't need to go, and also creates an aura of light around you that protects you. That's why meditating first thing in the morning both takes you, gives you access to a higher plane of consciousness, gives you access to the spiritual body of your higher self, and also enables it to come down through that connection into your everyday life. And so these basic practices are very precious, they're very valuable. And also, as I've said over the years, the adab, the basic Sufi practice of behavior, of right behavior, that also protects you. It's an energetic protection, it stops things coming in. If you live what the Sufis call a certain courtesy. In fact, you know, Junaid, one of the earliest Sufis, said, Sufism is substituting poor character traits with noble ones. Beautiful outward behavior and sincere inward character. If you live with this quality of adab, of courtesy, the Sufis often talk about the nobility of character. This is different to morality. It's a much deeper level. It really has to do with courtesy in the deepest sense of right behavior. In its deepest sense, it is respect for other people. It is respect for what is sacred within other people. It should be, ideally, a natural way to behave. If you have courtesy towards other people, you don't throw your anger at them. You don't shout at them unless they need to be shouted at, because you have courtesy towards them. It is a way to live in the presence of God with other people. It's as if you are always in the presence of your teacher. And for the Sufi, it should really be a natural way to live, to be. But it is also, say, particularly important at this time because it protects you in the inner worlds. What I want you to do to be able is to live as full as life as possible in the limitations of this present time, and also make the journey back to God. And it's just that there are certain limiting conditions. As Junaid said, it has to do with substituting poor character traits with noble ones. It has to do with the inner nobility of character. That hopefully one learns and then becomes a natural way to be. So what I'm trying to say, it's important to recognize this outer situation. And I give you a little quote from Darkening of the Light when I wrote about this. As the planet faces an unprecedented future, we need to be especially attentive and aware. We cannot afford to slip into forgetfulness, to be lulled asleep by the dreams of our dying culture. There is also an increased need for individuals to protect their light from the darkness and from the toxicity that is in this darkness. You have to protect your light. You have to look after it. It's like anything. It's like if you have a house, you want to keep it clean. You look after it, and you look after your spiritual body, and you look. It's also like looking after a relationship. I read an interesting piece about what relationships are successful, and the basic conclusion they came away with is that if people are kind to each other and appreciate each other, their relationships are much more likely to be long-lasting and successful and supportive. It didn't say they had to have a passionate relationship, or they even had to have a deep understanding of each other. But if they were just kind to each other, that's why I always say loving kindness. Kindness. People value kindness. There seems to be less and less kindness in our culture. If we practice love towards God, we should practice loving kindness towards other people. It's an inner attitude. One thing was very, very apparent in the recent election in America. There wasn't any kindness there. It was full of aggression. It was full of who's right and who's wrong and who's this and who's that. And there was a lack of just kindness. We're just people. That's why I go back to the Native Americans, and they have this, what they call the original instructions, which in their tradition was given by the gods to humanity. The original instructions about being in this earth. And the original instructions, in one interpretation, is we just have to get along together. Get along together with all of creation, with all of... Emmanuel recently made a little film of these nuns in working with the Karmapa in India, and they have this phrase, compassion is action. Compassion is action. Whether you get along with all of creation, being kind. We're all part of one living whole. Again, it's not complicated, it's actually very simple. And we're here to get along together. That's how the world is actually made. It's this, it doesn't mean that lions can't kill animals, or it doesn't mean you always have a good day. But it's a basic principle. In a way, a Sufi community is, it should be a nucleus of that. We're here to help each other, to get along, to be kind, to be supportive, to help where it's need to be helped. Not because it's spiritual or good, because it should be a natural way to be. We're just here to help. And when somebody needs help, people gather around and help. Those values are always important, because those are the original instructions. But once you become aware we're living in a culture that's forgotten those original instructions, that no longer has that nobility of character at its core, and that is being infused with a certain negative energy that wants to bring humanity down, to take it to a lower level. If you look at this outer scene, it's not just has to do with a certain isolationism that is turning away from oneness. Yes, that is one aspect. But what is much more dangerous and much darker is a certain regression that is regressing to a certain baser instinct rather than a noble character. You can get drawn into that regression, into the me, into the... It's just a lower level of evolution. And we have to hold a certain light that belongs to what is nobler in a human being, what is more beautiful in a human being, what is more radiant in a human being. And this is very simple things. And also, again, if you live like that from a spiritual point of view, you create around you an energy field that protects you and protects the community and becomes more infused with the light of God rather than a certain darkness. that has a certain elemental energy in it that we don't understand as a culture. And part of my concern is that we've entered into a psychic minefield without knowing that we're going there. So it needs a certain awareness. But as I say, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy life, you can't have a nice meal with friends, you can't see the beauty, see the love in everything. But it does mean one needs a particular awareness, and one makes sure one's own individual light is not influenced or diminished by this gathering darkness, by this. And that is also a certain spiritual responsibility for oneself and also for one's environment. There is not just one's physical environment, there's also the psychic environment in which we live and the spiritual environment with which we live. When I wrote this book, Darkening of the Light, I based it upon the hexagram 36 in the I Ching. An old Taoist by nature, and the I Ching understands these cycles, these rhythms of light and dark that get played out. And hexagram 36 is the light has sunk into the earth, the image of darkening of the light. Thus does the superior man live with the great mass. He veils his light, yet still shines. And there was a little description underneath, and this is 2,000 years old, how to live in this time, which I found very appropriate for today, so I will share it. In a time of darkness, it is essential to be cautious and reserved. Doesn't mean we're repressed, we're cautious. You just pay a little bit more attention. You don't rush into things like you might do. You're cautious and you're reserved. You don't throw yourself around. Once again, it's a quality of good behavior. You're cautious, you're reserved. One should not needlessly awaken overwhelming enmity by inconsiderate behavior. Again, one shouldn't be needless and one shouldn't be inconsiderate, because you don't know what's out there, what can come through. And I've seen psychic poison come in just by somebody not being considerate. One shouldn't needlessly awaken overwhelming enmity by inconsiderate behavior. One just needs to be extra aware, extra courteous in one's behavior. The only thing that is really matters in the human being is this light within the heart and what is sacred within the human being. And you can't argue about that. Nobody's right and nobody's wrong. And look, sometimes some things get you upset and you get pissed off, okay. But most things, do they really matter? Are they really that important? This is from the Diamond Sutra. So I tell you, thus shall you think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble floating in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom or a dream. Once you get to a certain place on the path, you realize everything is a delusion. You see, I'm saying two things at the same time, which completely invalidate each other. I'm saying, look, there is this really difficult situation in the world, and it's become toxic, and it's become more full of forgetfulness and full of anger, and all sorts of oogly googlies going to come in, and they can do strange things, oogly googlies, I can tell you. And you have to be aware and attentive and do your practices. And at the same time, just be aware that's just another colored soap bubble. And it matters, but it doesn't matter. So you don't argue about it. Nobody's right or nobody's wrong. That's why I like the wisdom of the Chinese. One should not needlessly have overwhelming enmity by inconsiderate behavior. This is the way the world is. This is the red dust. But at the same time, in such times, one ought not to fall in with the practices of others. Neither should one drag them censoriously into the light. Don't go and get drunk. But don't try to tell other people. The last thing you want to tell somebody is that their life is an illusion. Don't pull people into the light. It is like there's a very basic adab, for example, in this group, that you never invite somebody to a meditation group. Ever. People have to come because something inside them wants. You never try and take people into the light. It's complete disrespect. And so freedom is really essential part of our spiritual practice. You leave people alone. Bhaisab said, leave a human being alone and they find their own way back to God. People live the path because they want to, because they are drawn to it, because there's a song in their heart that likes to hear this particular song of love that is drawn into this arena of the heart. This particular love affair, these particular threads of love, this love story attracts certain souls. Why? It is a mystery. So you live from this place of a deeper understanding. The world goes on its course. Yes, it's going through a bad hiccup. Maybe in 20 years or 200 years it will have realigned itself. And at the same time, there is a deeper mystery taking place, which has to do with the mystery of love, to do with the mystery of the soul of creation, the soul of the world. And hopefully our soul can be part of that mystery. And all I would say is that, yes, you need to be aware of this present time. As the I Ching says, one should let many things pass without being duped. I think that is excellent advice. One should let many things pass. This is a time not to get caught up. One always avoids being caught up, but this is a time particularly because it's all a lie anyway. Time to let many things pass, but at the same time you are not duped. Once you realize we are in a post-truth era, then let it all pass, but don't get duped by it. Don't get caught up in the lies. Except for loving kindness and compassion and making a nice loaf of bread and sharing a bowl of soup with friends and seeing your children laugh in the playground. So don't get duped. And also, again, very wise I Ching, it says, in social intercourse, one should not try to be all-knowing. This is how to live when the light has sunk into the earth. In social intercourse, one shouldn't try to be all-knowing, because there's no point. Actually, as Sufis, we are used to keeping the secrets of love to ourselves. Traditionally, you never even tell anybody you're a Sufi. We don't advertise it. We keep the secrets of the heart to ourselves. We're just ordinary people who happen to love God, who happen to be a little crazy. And it's nobody else's business. We are just lovers of God. We don't believe in anything either, except love. I always like this Buddhist expression called subtle means. There's a subtle way to live in this present time with freedom, with compassion, with awareness, that sees the world for what it is. We are not children. We don't believe in the promises. We don't believe in promises of politicians, the promises of economists. We see the world for what it is, and we belong to our beloved. And in the midst of it, there is this extraordinary other mystery taking place. And say, what matters to me, just because I have seen what it means and I've been asked to share it a little bit, is that you live both the real mystery of your own soul, the journey back to what is real, because I know how precious it is, and traditionally you can only realize that while you are in this physical world, while you are embodied. That is the esoteric truth. And if possible, both individually and also as a community, we take part in this greater mystery, which has to do with this the spiritual nature of creation, the spiritual nature of the world, the spiritual nature of the cosmos. And that is very beautiful, and it is in a way quite different to what is being played out on this worldly stage at the moment. The world is going through a very peculiar, even the great ones, they were a little surprised. They said, gosh, humanity is doing that? But in the midst of it, there is something very beautiful taking place, which we can participate in, this, which has to do with the vision I had for many, many years, which is this child with stars in his eyes, this other level of consciousness, which is very, very, very beautiful, and which belongs to a much greater dimension. And to bring a little bit of light, please, in this, I call this darkening, to bring a little bit of light into this darkening, both through remembrance of God, through loving kindness and compassion, and through living from a certain inner nobility, regardless of what happens around you. I think that's all one can do.